Hare Krishna, a very hearty and warm welcome to all of our participants for this month's Parivartan festival. I say a very warm welcome because it's the winter season going on and I see many of you wrapped up with sweaters and jackets and all that stuff. So from that point of view, and also I guess I am seeing some known faces from last time. How many of you were there last seminar, Art of Parenting? Raise your hands. Okay, now how many of you are coming for the very first time for a seminar like this? So, don't worry. Level 2 doesn't mean that some of you who are coming for the first time might be feeling that we are not in connection then, because we were not there last month for the level 1. But we'll have a short recap of whatever we discussed last month in our seminar, Art of Parenting Level 1. And it was requested after that seminar last month that I should be taking some more elaboration and like level 2 of this same topic. So on popular demand and request, I came up with level 2 as well, but thought of that it should be made in such a way so that even those who are coming for the very first time can relate to what we had all discussed in level 1. Now, if you remember, in our last seminar, level 1, I had expressed my feelings of what I feel when I'm standing in front of all of you with a topic like this. Yeah, what was that? Yeah, I was giving the example that a person like me dressed up like this in front of all of you with a topic like this, the feeling which I was having was as if a tiger is giving a seminar on vegetarianism. So, you know how I am feeling now, today? Another example. I am feeling as if an elephant is giving a seminar on how to reduce weight. Sounds paradoxical. Like, just last week, there was one person who was asking me this question. Do you like kids? Now, quite a loaded question. Do I like kids? I said, yes, I love them as long as they are not mine. Now, sometimes, you know, we enjoy something, we relish something when it is not a pressure on us. Now, when we talk about dealing with children or the modern day child or the modern day kid, definitely all of you, I guess all of you are parents over here. Anyone like me? Okay. Now, when you're all talking about the modern day child, the child of the 21st century, who is exploring so many newer ideas and newer frontiers and is being exposed to so many things as we probably were not exposed to when we were of that age. Am I right? And then all these things, we have to have these kind of seminars then. Otherwise it was not needed. We have to have these kind of seminars as to how to bridge that gap between the modern day kid and the modern day parent having age-old views. Like, I remember dealing with children nowadays. how fast they are. You know, what is the pace at which these children are heading towards whatever they are heading towards? I was in London, and there was a program which I was doing in someone's house. And there were families and children, and everyone was there in the audience. So generally, our programs are that, you know, like this. We have some kirtan, and then there is a talk, and then there are question answers. I open to question answers. Whoever can ask any questions. So after the talk, I open for questions, that if anyone has any questions. So now, many times it happens that when I open for questions, there is some silence, because the audience, they didn't expect that, you know, we can even ask questions, or any questions for that matter. So there was silence, and there was one kid, he raised his hand. I was a little surprised, quite bold. And all the adults who were sitting in, they also looked at the kid, that what kind of question he might have. Because, you know, the discussion was all from Gita and philosophy and all those kind of stuff, which even for adults, it sometimes goes above, what to speak of kids. So this kid, he raised his hand. Now, generally what I expect after a talk is that people will ask questions in connection with the talk. Like today's seminar, I expect that any questions you might have will be in connection with parenting. Like I remember one time after a seminar, one person was waiting to ask a question to me. For 1 hour he waited. And I was seeing he's waiting, because there were people around and they were asking many questions and he was waiting. So I thought he might have some very pressing question, that he's waited for 1 hour. And when everyone, you know, they finished off and he came forward and he asked, "Ye tilak kaise lagate aap?" I said, "Wow, you waited for 1 hour just to ask that question?" Quite patience that requires. So, generally, what I expect is that the questions would be in connection with the topic which has been discussed. Now, this kid, when he raised his hand, I said, "Okay, what's your question?" He said, "Prabhuji, Rahul Dr. Sharma ka beta hai." I said, "Okay. Lekin Dr. Sharma Rahul ke pita nahi hai." Kaise? Now, I was confused, you know, I'm used to giving good answers. But this was like a catch 22. I said, "Come on, you know, this is being childish." "No." Again, "Rahul Dr. Sharma ka ladka hai. Dr. Sharma Rahul ke pita nahi hai, kyunki Dr. Sharma mummy hai." Wow. That was quite a question. So I said, "Okay, I'll ask you a question. Batao, tumhara naam kya hai?" "Mera Rahul." "Bola, acha, his name was Rahul." So I asked, "Batao, ek hathi ko fridge mein kaise daloge?" Wo bola, "Papa, pata nahi. Darwaja khol ke aur kaise?" Fir maine pucha, "Dusre hathi ko kaise daloge?" "Darwaja khol ke." Bola, "Nahi, pehle wale ko nikalna hai na." So I'm just giving you a kind of a sample of sometimes, or nowadays, the kind of level at which we have to deal with kids and their questions and their demands and their oppositions or whatever for that matter. So it is very much necessary for one to know that how to maturely deal with the kid of today's 21st century. So what I'm going to do is first just give you a recap for everyone, for that matter, those who attended our last session and also those who are attending for the first time, that we know that where we are heading towards and what's the background. So just a quick recap of the session which we had last month. We discussed these topics: how to cooperate with your children. That was the beginning of our talk. Then how to get cooperation from your children, how to punish them without punishing, and how to correctly praise your child. And so you all remember? Okay. So we had some formulas. Remember the lawn formula? The lawn formula: listen with full attention. A stands for acknowledge their feelings. W, wishes in fantasy. And name their feelings. I won't go into details now, because then again it will be like the level when starting again, and we'll have to finish tomorrow maybe our seminar for today. So this was the lawn formula which we had discussed. Then the twist formula, if you remember: tell or describe the problem, write a note, information to be given in regards to when you have to deal with their feelings, say it with a word, talk about your feelings. This is in regard to how to get cooperation from your kid. Then there was another formula which we had discussed, the gas pest formula: giving a choice, allow the child to experience the consequences, show the child how to amend, point out a way to be helpful, express strong disapproval, state your expectations, take an action. What was this in regard to? Anyone remembers? How to punish your kid without punishing. So that was in regards to that. Now, we also discussed the five jewels of good parenting. It's highly subjective and it's never objective, one should know. It's about teaching confidence and not competition. We have to be a coach and less a monitor. Both parents should give consistent training, never conflicting. Child's limitation is ultimately your destiny, and that is something which we have to better accept. And finally, we had learned parenting from Lord Krishna himself in regards to him teaching Bhagavad Gita to Arjun. Krishna spoke only when Arjun was ready to hear. After speaking Gita, Krishna gave Arjun his independence to either accept or reject. Only after presenting the consequences of making different choices, Krishna was willing to speak once again the whole Gita if Arjun didn't get it. This is how we can learn, get some tips from the Supreme Lord himself as to how to properly communicate with the kid, or with, for that matter, anyone who is dependent. So Arjun was dependent on Krishna to seek knowledge. Now we come back to welcome to the Art of Parenting Level 2. That's for today. I was thinking of this particular picture. Very interesting, quite informative, quite awe-inspiring, thought-provoking image. What do you think of this image of this kid? Okay, might be a little difficult question. Over here, the kid has done some mischief. It appears that the kid has done some mischief. The paint is all over on the palms. So this is the kind of dilemma which many times parents, they are in. When they see the beautiful smile of the child, they can't be heavy looking at the beautiful face and the smiling face of the child. But then the child has also done the mischief. So there is a dilemma, what to do? Should I punish the child, but the child is so cute? Am I right? This child looks so cute, but also has done some mischief. So we know that babies are all cute babies, and babies are all babies who do mischief. Who else will do mischief? They are the ones. In this particular age, they are the ones who are called as the mischief mongers. So, this image is why thought provoking, because this is what is the dilemma of a parent. How much should I punish my child? How much should I correct my child? How much should I just let go of whatever the child does in regards to mischief or whatever? Because I love my child. I want my child always to be smiling like this. But the moment I try to punish or correct or do whatever, amend my child, I lose the smile on his face. So I want, he should not be doing that mischief and also keep smiling. But that's a wrong combination. Many times we don't, as they say, we don't get everything of this world as per our demands. Doesn't go our way always. So therefore, today's level 2, we'll be going much more deeper into how to understand the psychology of the child and how to make understand the child our psychology. That's something going deeper into the art of parenting. So the topics which we'll be covering today: understanding your child's psychology, dealing with childhood addictions, becoming an exemplary parent, becoming a FGP. Just kept a little suspense for that. Okay. Then there'll be a take-home message. Okay. So, we request all of you that please feel free, in case if you don't understand something or if you have some inputs from your side, because you're all hands-on dealing with your kids. So some latest information, some latest inputs you can share with everyone. And as it was announced that any questions anyone has, you can raise your hands. If you need some clarification, we can definitely do that even in the middle of our seminar and try to help everyone for that matter. And as it was announced, you all have the feedback forms with you. You received the feedback form. So you better fill it up properly, your email address, so that the notes for whatever we are discussing, we'll send you through email. Because last time, many of the people, they couldn't get the notes. So it was a suggestion that why don't you just mail them. So you better write your email properly on that. Okay, so beginning with our first point, understanding child's psychology. How many of you try to understand your child's psychology, or it's just jee rahe hain? Wo bhi bada ho rahe hain, hum bhi ho gaye. Wo bhi bada ho rahe hain, hum bhi bude ho rahe hain. How many of you try to really understand? Because it's very interesting. Children's psyche is a very, very interesting field to explore into. Why? Because it is mentioned in the Niti Shastras also that a child's memory or brain or intelligence or mental functions, it's like wet cement. We gave this example last time also. It's like wet cement. Why this example is given? Very obviously, you know. Wet cement can be molded the way you want as long as it's wet. Once it dries up, that's it. You have to break it if you want to change it. And then you don't want that kind of a change. So understanding the child's psychology is very important, because we have to come out from our shoes and get into the little baby shoes. So beginning, understanding child psychology is going back into our own childhood. Any given situation. Say for example, let's take that photo which we just saw. You know, you gave you know, the what crayons or paint for the child to do, you know, the drawing or whatever. And the child does that, like this. Now, how many times when we look back into our childhood, didn't we also do things like that when we were of that age? So what happens is that unless we see the level of the child, not just the height of the child, not just that the child is just whatever, 2 foot or 3 foot, but also mentally the psychology of the child is also not so matured and advanced. Now, you see, when infant babies, whatever they do, they are always excused. Infant babies. You hold someone's infant baby and he uses you as the toilet. Now, are you going to file a case in the court? No. You can't even shout, you can't even do anything. You know, sometimes you can't even give the baby to someone else because then you will be exposed. So why? My question now, I'm trying to understand your psychology now as a parent. So my question, why an infant baby, when he does something like that, why there are no offenses counted against that infant baby? Why? It's expected. You don't expect that the child will, you know, tell you that, you know, where's the toilet, and the child will on his own go. So it's expected of the baby to behave like that. Anything else? Okay, yeah. So over here we have another point that the child is too small to understand. Combine both of that. The child is too small to understand what he should be doing or what she should be doing, what he or she should not be doing. Any other points? Okay. More or less, we are running in the same family. Okay, you have something? Wow. Okay, yeah, this is a good point, that what can you do? Even if you scold the child, maybe because of scolding, the child will go for the second level. Level two. So yes, the child cannot understand that language. You know. So therefore, yes, these are some good points. So what are we coming to? What are we coming terms to now? Something in connection with this point? That even when the child grows up a little and the child is not behaving according to what our terms are, terms and conditions, we have to understand that at every age, the child has to be dealt according to that age, that level. Just like how we deal with infant babies according to the level, the age, the size, the physicality, the metaphysicality of the child. So herein, it's very important that whenever a parent tries to force something on the child, even if it is good, even if everything is according to you, what should be good for the child, what should be beneficial for the child, and even if the child has done something absolutely wrong, 100%, still this thing has to be first understood within the mind, that I'm dealing with someone, I was also of that age. And sometimes we might have been more mischievous and notorious than our own kid. You remember that that example of the robot slapping, lie detecting robot? Okay. So this is the first point, going back into our own childhood and trying to empathize. You know the word empathy? There is sympathy and empathy. To empathize with the psychology of the child. Okay. Over here, realizing child's physical and mental limitations. This is what I wanted from you, because this was the second point which over here I was presenting, that there are limitations for the child. And when you understand that there are limitations, we, even grown-up adults, we have to obey to the limitations of our time, place and circumstance. Like for example, if you happen to go abroad, will you not be limited because you will be following the rules and regulations of that particular country? You can't just drive the way you drive here in India. You can't just walk the way you walk here in India. Many things happens in India which are very unheard of over there in abroad. So, when you are in a different place, you understand immediately that you are limited. There are certain rules which now you have to follow because of so many reasons. So over here again, looking into the child's physicality and the mental condition of the child, just like right now this child is making some noise, whoever this child is. Now we all know that the child, what the child is supposed to do. You can't expect the child to attentively look at me and listen. Maybe if he looks at me, he will cry more. And it has happened many times. Many times, you know, when I'm... sometimes I have some of our people like this, you know, dressed up like this, with shaven head and all. Children are very scared. There is a kind of a phobia, I'm forgetting the name, there is a phobia of bald people. And there was one time an example of a kid, he was with his mother and he saw, you know, a person like me, one of my colleagues. He was aghast, appalled, for the first time, he's seeing a creature like this. So, the kid blurted out, "Bhoot." So, okay, now, coming back to the exam. The kid is making some noise, okay. Now, we have to now come to that level and come to the terms that this is what is expected of a kid. But imagine a grown-up starts, you know, making that kind of noise over here. Some of you, you know, start making that. Everyone will look at that person. Kya bhai, kya problem? Then we may have to call the security outside and the watchman, and then the watchman might deal with whatever noise is being made by an adult. So, trying to understand the child psychology, this is very important that we think twice. Another important factor is that whatever we had encountered when we were young kids, times have changed. Can I get some examples from your side for this third point, considering the changing time factor in regards to the psychology of the child changing? How when we were, say, 3 years old or 4 years old, what was our psychology for certain things or certain situations? And the same given situation, what's the psychology of the child? Any latest examples for that matter in regards to the third point? The child has become much more practical, which means we were impractical.
No, but at this age, we are, you know,
Okay, this is a good point. We couldn't understand so many things which children nowadays can. Any example? No. We will go to that. That's a separate topic in itself. Okay, let's. Okay. So the new things are being explored over here. Okay, so over here, one of our mothers, she's saying, your mother? Okay, so she's saying that nowadays they are becoming more selfish, you are saying that, you know, it's mine, me, mine, like that. Being more possessive. And there was a point being made that, come on, what do you expect? You know, we were like, when we were having a cricket team along with us. And nowadays, you know, he's just alone. He thinks, I am the Lord of all, I survey. Okay, there is no competitor for me. Okay, there was a hand raised somewhere. Yeah. Okay, they are more analytical. Yes, I accept this particular point. They are more analytical. Because of the modern day education also, and because of so much exposure, media is one of the most important factors that, and the education system is changing also. The way they are teaching, those processes are getting a little changed. I don't know whether it's progressing or whatever. But yes, they are becoming more analytical in trying to. The questions are changing. You know, the questions nowadays of kids are more precise and more, you know, sharp shooting, as they say. Okay, so this is a good point. They are becoming more demanding, which means, you know, want more and more and more of whatever they want. Okay, do you have some points? Yeah, you have something?
As well as the people around them, so they are demanding. When I was a kid, the condition of my parents or their culture was like that, if it is useful to me and I'm in need of it, then only I will take it. Here, the parents themselves are purchasing the things which are not useful, then why the kids should not ask for it?
Wow. Okay, I'm not the one who is saying that, okay? Yeah, so someone from your side, okay. Okay, you all agree to this? Okay, we'll be dealing that point also. How parents have to be exemplary. There was a point in this. How parents have to be exemplary. In what, when we say exemplary, which means by their example, not just lip talk. By their example. Yes, someone over here, I heard some voice. जो मेरे पिता ने नहीं दिया लाइक यू नो आई रिमेंबर देर वॉज अ पोएम ऑफ अ किड एंड द पोएम वॉज एंटाइटल्ड हैंग मी डाउन्स विच मीन्स He was the youngest and the only thing he got was the hang downs from the elders. Uska t-shirt chota ho gaya, tu pehen. Uska textbook tum use kar. Uska wo kya hai? Compass box tum use kar. Uska school bag tum uska. Sab kuch uska. So he was like, he came up with a poem. My life was just full of hang me downs. Everything was, you know, hang down on me, hand it down to me. So yeah, sometimes, you know, the parents, later on that the kid grows up and then he takes a vow that whenever I have a kid, my kid will always have the newest things, which I never ever, my father never ever gave me. Or sometimes it's the opposite also. If you are the victim, you make the child also victim. That's also another case. अरे मैं जब तुम्हारे उम्र का था ना, एक पेंसिल के लिए मोहताज बनाते थे मुझे, तुमको मोबाइल चाहिए, समथिंग लाइक दैट. ओके, सो वी हैव अनदर पॉइंट ओवर हियर. एनी पॉइंट्स फ्रॉम दिस साइड? ओके, ऑल पॉइंट्स आर फ्रॉम दिस साइड. लेट्स हैव सम बैलेंस. ओके, लेट्स हैव सम बैलेंस. आई विल कम टू यू. Wow, now the children are more critical and observant. Pitaji, TV aap band kijiye pehle. So they are more observant and many times they are more open and straightforward in that regard. Okay, any other significant points from any sides? Children nowadays have more freedom to express, and why do you say that? Why you feel that you, or for that matter we, didn't have that freedom? Okay, the parents are more liberal. They are more lenient, they are more considerate, or they have to be like that? Joint family, okay.
Joint families are a family which the parents are the parents. The grandparents, parents, and the children used to stay together. Nowadays, nuclear families have grown. So, the total type, jo nana type dete the, jo aji type dete the, sab kuch humko dena. They are more in company. They are getting more.
Is it good or bad then? Okay.
But they should not be, you know, shelved in our country.
But there was, okay, I agree to this.
They should have the love and care of the grandparents also at times. No, they don't miss that.
Okay.
It's not possible to provide that at this time. There are many cases.
Well, over here, this is a very significant point, all of you, if you heard it, that earlier the joint family, you know, the grandchildren would have the exposure even to the grandparents and more to the grandparents, and that's like. But I also am seeing that because of nuclear families, the kids are getting less association of their parents, because most of the time the parents are working parents. The wife is working, the husband. Have you heard of the term the Sunday daddy? Huh? Yeah, the kid is asking the mother, on the dining table, who is this man? Sunday breakfast, who is this man? Beta, he's your pop. He's your dad. So this is like in the Western culture, it's happening, you know, the Sunday daddy syndrome, wherein the daddy leaves the office when the kid is sleeping and comes back again when the kid is sleeping. So sometimes it happens like that also, that because of less association given to the, and sometimes babysitters and maids, and they are the ones who raise the kids, and you know, many times the kids, they have more love for the babysitters and for these ayahs or whatever than the original parents. So that's also a typical problem which many of the parents have to deal, both too much exposure and too less exposure. So there has to be a proper balance. Familiarity breeds contempt, as they say. Should we go ahead, or any other pressing points anyone has? So herein, I want these things to come out from you so that we can all share together on these points to ponder upon. That in order to deal with the child, we have to really understand the changing times, the psychology, the changing psychologies of children, and also our given situation nowadays, as you know, the economical things and the recession and so many things happening. So how to cope up with so many things and also have a real loving family as we used to have when we were in whatever village, and there was so much harmony and smiling faces, which is a very rare commodity nowadays, smile on the face. Now, this is another a very, very important issue. Childhood addictions, which are also changing according to changing times. Like, what were our addictions when we were kids? Our childhood addictions. Gilli dandu. Patang. Patang. Nowadays you ask children, patang kuda patang. So everything is on video game. Patang is also on video game. So, you know, some real simple things. Our addictions were not very costly, first of all. The addictions were not very costly. And they were, the after effects were, or the aftermath of those addictions were not so gruesome as nowadays. You find the addictions are becoming more and more grosser, gruesome, sometimes brutal, sometimes fatal. Sorry to use those loaded words. So now, let's see. Sports. Television, of course, we can't take that thing. We have to use that thing in consideration. Internet nowadays. And yes, have I missed out something? Which I can include, which you feel. Chocolates, okay. Oh, that's a good point. Chocolates. Junk. Junk food. I'll tell you that in regards to chocolates specifically, that these companies, I don't want to name them, but these companies, manufacturing companies, the special ingredient within this chocolate is such that when kids, they eat that regularly, they lose their taste buds of the tongue. The caffeine in the chocolate and the preservatives and heavy things which are used in these chocolates, they kill the taste buds. So even if the child intellectually later on knows that this chocolate is not good for me, and if the child wants to switch over to something healthy, the child cannot. We have observed in Bombay, because we have a big congregation out there also, and many of our Hare Krishna household couples, their children, they are so addicted to this chocolate, and even if they are offered with some healthy alternative, say, you know, some healthy sweet, something made out of, say, khajur, looks like chocolate, they don't feel like eating that because that chocolate has killed their taste buds. Just like a drug addict. A drug addict is addicted to that particular drug only. And it's like they get withdrawal symptoms. So don't think that this chocolate is something which is very innocent. Chalo meetha ho jaye. And it's like any other, you know, the kids are smiling. I was seeing just, you know, I was on a trip to Ujjain, and there was a family right in front of me and two kids. You know, the only thing they ate for their breakfast, for their lunch, was just loads and loads of chocolates. When, you know, the parents had also packed along some healthy food, you know, some chapati and some sabji and something healthy. But the only thing, they fill their stomachs, the bellies only with that. You don't even know how much sugar that thing has in it. And, you know, all those preservatives and other things and what all it goes through just to make that child addicted to that. Like, talking about addiction, there is a famous brand, cigarette company. Again, no names over here. A famous cigarette company. The owner of the cigarette company is seeing a teenage boy smoking. And he comes back. He calls the board members. And he's yelling. He's showing, you know, the photo of this kid. And he's yelling and he's saying, don't you all feel shame? Don't we all feel shame? Here is a teenage kid having a cigarette in his hand. And it's not our brand. This is serious. These are the companies, their target is kids. Because once they hook on to these addictions, they will be our customers lifelong. That's how. Don't think that you are living in a world where everyone is, you know, like this and goody-goody to you. It's a world full of cheaters and cheated. So better don't take your baby steps, but careful steps. So over here, chocolate is one addition over here. Addiction of something which you all have to deal with so much seriously. Anything in relation to that? Junk food, yeah, junk food. Coming back to the same, in the same family, junk food. Now this junk food is also something which they design in such a way that in order to give that taste, they have to extract out all the nutrients from that food. And therefore, it is only appealing to the tongue. And many times it's mob psychology. You know mob psychology? That if four kids are enjoying a pizza or a burger or whatever. And they are going to the McDonald's and enjoying. Not just road chap pizza. But authorized, authentic one. From Domino's or whatever. So, you know, that's like, sometimes they don't even know what they are eating. But just because so many others are having it, I also want to have that. You give a chapati with some chutney and like that. This is desi pizza. No. And again, all of these addictions, you can't blame them because we are coming to the point. It has to begin with the adults. It has to begin from there. Now, I'm also dealing with teenagers. Don't think that I only give seminars to parents. I also deal with the teenagers. And the teenagers, when they come up with their nowadays problem in connection with television or internet or video games, some of the facts which I'm going to tell you are so horrific. Some of the facts are so grotesque in their nature that sometimes, you know, if it'll shudder you, it'll really shake you from within whether you should keep these things at home or whether you should just blatantly take it out of your system. Some of the facts I'll, because these are teenagers who come up to me confessing the ill effects of media. Now, when we talk about media, beginning with something which appears to be so innocent, sitting in the living room, so innocently sitting in the living room, not just sitting in the living room, practically every room now. What is that? Earlier, you know, when I was in school, we used to have that debate whether television is an idiot box. They would call it idiot box. Nowadays, you can't even make out whether it's a box. Everything is flat. You know, there was a funny image which I had shown in one of the seminars, in which how technology has progressed. And the image was of 1990. The television was like, you know, this thick. And the man was this thin. And then 2009, you have the man like this. You know, couch potato, they say. And the television has become slimmer. That's technological progress. Okay, so when we talk about the ill effects of media. Okay, have you experienced some ill effects or whatever effect of media on you and your children? Before I have something from my side, let me know something from your side. Ill effects of media. Lack of communication between the family members. The family members come together only when that is on. And everyone is having their dinner. You know, in US, they have something called the TV dinner. TV dinner, which is available in the market. Because the husband is working, the wife is working, and the kids, they don't know where they are. So, whenever they are at home, so nobody has time to cook. And whatever time they have, they don't want to waste it. Because the TV, so many things are going on there. And who is going to go into the kitchen and cook and all that stuff? So there is this TV dinner available in the supermarket over there. It's ready-made dinner. So you buy it, microwave it. It's refrigerated first. It's in deep freeze for 300 years first. Then you take it out from that deep freeze and then you microwave it. You know, microwaving. And then you just take it out and everyone is having their dinner in front of the TV. And it's called TV dinner. They are not, you know, dishonest about that. They're very honest. And that's the effect because the TV. So lack of communication. Yes, lack of reading habits nowadays because of so much of watching television. Lack of reading habits. They can't sit with a book even for half an hour and focus and concentrate on that. Anything else?
Instead of playing games on the playground, the games are watched on the TV.
Okay. This is a very nice point. I can personally say, because I was a sportsman and I hated watching sports on TV because it would just excite me. Dekhna kya hai? Chalo, let's play. And of course, this is psychology also that many times the players, you know, they don't like to just watch the game. They just want to do it. Just do it. So, yes, what's happening nowadays is that people are becoming, children, are so much into watching that you find that they're destroying their own health because of not getting up from that couch. And the addiction for that game has become so unrealistic nowadays. Like there was an article on cricket, the craze of cricket, the cricket fever in India today. And in this article, there were examples of how nowadays kids are so crazy about a game like that. There was one kid, and he was so mad about this game, he didn't know anything about how to play. But still he was mad watching it. So whenever India would play against any other, specifically against Pakistan, so this kid, he would sit in front of the television with the entire cricket gear on. You know, with the helmet, gloves and pads and the bat. And he would sit like that and watch. And he was being interviewed that, come on, what are you up to? In case if they need. Jarut padi to, beech mein. And when it was found out, he hardly knew how to hold that thing properly. So yes, you are right that it is taking the kids away from the actual action which will help them physically also, and so many other things which are happening because of that. Anything else? They start behaving like that personality, and definitely there are not very noble personalities which come on TV. Most of it are not those personalities whom we would ask them to, you know, make them as their role models. So they try to imitate. You know, in Bombay, this was some years ago, there was one 16-year-old boy who went rampant killing. If you remember, there was a case like this. He just went, you know, like berserk. It was like a mad spree. He went killing people without any reason. And then he was arrested, definitely. And it was found that there was some Bollywood movie which he had seen, in which the hero had a style of killing people. A flair of how the hero would kill. And he wanted to imitate, as you said. He wanted to imitate that style. But then, he didn't realize that it was all just made up, and the hero, you know, he goes to jail and he runs away from jail also. But for him, that's not going to be the story. He's in the jail now forever. So this is something, you know, the boon given by whatever that television. Any points? Okay. Yeah, they come to know from media that you never told us that you know, mobile phones is of this model also. You never told that toothpaste can be with stripes inside, with this color. Toothbrush can be of so many varieties and shapes and sizes. So, all this stuff. Yeah. The attention span is reducing. Yes, we have that particular point. You know, the attention span is reducing, which means the intelligence is getting dulled more and more. I'll explain that elaborately, how it happens actually, how it affects. Not just for them, but even for us. Don't think that, you know, it's for them now, okay? Now, after this, I'll take them to case. No. So, okay. We'll begin with something. Physically, it makes them lazy. So, nowadays, you find kids having physical problems, right? In their youthhood. Lower back pain. Because of sitting on the couch or whatever for long hours in front of the computer, in front of the TV. There was one teenager lost the sense of touch on the fingers because of texting on mobile phone. So much texting and so much of that keyboard using that lost, it became numb. There was no sensation or feeling on the fingers of this particular kid. And so This is something which, you know, just one example right now, but there are so many examples of how physically eyes, it affects the eyes, it affects, you know, the entire physicality of the children. And then you find that children, you know, when they get up watching 6 hours of television or playing video games for 4-3 hours, when they get up, they have, you know, pot bellies and bellies coming out, and instead of what they see on the screen, someone, you know, with good shape. But when they get up from the couch, instead of V, it is A. You know, A. Like that. So, how physical it is making them lazy. Yes, this point dulls the intelligence. Even for the grown-ups, how it dulls the intelligence is, because when you switch on the television, you follow the program which is being shown to you. You are not allowed to use your intelligence. Am I right? Say, there is a movie which is going on. So when the movie is going on, they make the movies in such a way nowadays that you can't even think anything else. Abhi kya? Abhi? So, you just follow their, now these movie producers, how much money they spend. Can you imagine how much money is spent to make one silly movie? How much money they spend? Why? So that when you sit, you don't have to use your intelligence. You have to follow our storyline. There is a director who is sitting, who uses your mind to follow his direction. There is a story writer who is sitting, who writes the script of that movie so that you don't, you know, alter the movie. That, abhi isko marna chahiye, mar isko mar. No, you can't demand sitting on your seat that the villain should be killed now. So, everything the viewer has to obey, follow. Which means there is no scope for the child or for that matter anyone to use the intelligence for something like that. So what happens is, as also it was said, less attention span. Why that is happening? Less attention span is, there are like more than 75 to 80 images which flash in a minute when the TV is on. Sometimes you see when it's dark and from the window, if you see the flashing lights of TV is on. So many images come and go, because of which the eyes are so much used to variety in shapes, forms and sights and sounds and whatever. So the eyes are so much used to see, and not just, even if there is one particular image shown on the television, say some Aastha channel, someone like this. Even in that, you know, some things are moving above, here, niche. You know? Some things are, some strips are going all over that guy. And then after, you know, he's speaking about, he's very in the mode of goodness. He's talking, Atma ki shanti. Aaj ke pravachan ka sirshak hai, Atma ki shanti. Dakji, immediately some advertisement comes in between. कोलगेट, आपको यदि कोलगेट इस्तेमाल करना है तो आप इस प्रकार से इस्तेमाल कीजिए, यहां से घिसिए, यहां पे जाइए, यहां, एंड देन यू नो, ये आत्मा की शांति के बीच में दांत कहां से आए? आज हम वेदांत के बारे में बोलेंगे, एंड देन समथिंग अबाउट द दांत कम्स. सो एंड देन देयर इज अ thing, remote. So you don't like something too boring. next. So not just that one channel has so much variety, But there are so many varieties in the channels, off the channels. How many like 80, 90 nowadays? Going on and on and on. Getting increasing, increasing. I give the example that this television is like Ravana. You know, Ravana, when he kidnapped Sita, he came like this, sadhu. So television came many years ago, like 3 hours Doordarshan, Doorze Darshan, national network, Bathmya, all that kind of stuff. Sugam Sangeet, Amchi Mati, Amchi Mansa, all that stuff. And then after, so Ravan disguised himself like that. So this TV disguised initially like a very sattvic sadhu. And then when kidnapped Sita, then Ravan showed the real face. So our bhakti for the Lord is also like Sita. So when this television kidnapped that, then finally showed how many channels I have. You thought I'm just one Doordarshan? Now I'll show. So that Ravan had only 10 heads. This one? So many. So, how it dulls the intelligence is that because of the attention span, and they can't then sit with a book, as the point was mentioned. A seminar like this, nowadays, you know, to speak to the teenagers for a seminar like this, they become so restless after half an hour because they're looking for a remote. Kya hai? Channel change karo hi. They can't even change the channel. And no advertisements coming in between. And it's a fact. This is what is happening. So, we have to understand what are the repercussions of something which we think is like a welcome thing at home. You know, people, they welcome this thing with Nariyal and Aarti and Tikka. Television, people welcome that, like that. Which means welcoming Ravana like that, you know. Aao, Nariyal, aapko Tikka lagate. Chura le jao Sita ko. Loses human emotions. It's a very, very deadly thing which is happening. When I was in New York, there was one incident which was reported about a lady. And she wrote a book on television. The incident was that there was a lady who was driving, and right in front of her eyes, she saw a brutal accident. A man run over by a truck. And his entire body was pancaked to the road. She saw that in front of her eyes. You know, all the bloody scene of the accident. But there were no emotions. There were no emotions in her heart. You know what she felt? She said that she felt as if she has seen these scenes so many times on the screen. These violent movies. So she thought it's just like any other violent scene of some violent movie. What's big deal? And then later on she wrote a book on the ill effects of this particular thing. That how, because of so much exposure to so much of violence, so much of brutality, that people nowadays, they are losing all their emotions. Like, do you think that this Saas Bahu thing which is going on so much? Saas bhi kahu ko kabhi kya? Bahu thi na? Sasur bhi kabhi damad tha. Aisa kabhi nahi aaya? Maybe another new title now. Achha title. Sasur bhi kabhi damad. So what happens is, now this has been reported to me, that when this kind of serials are going on, Saas and Bahu and all that stuff, so when both are watching, Saas is also watching, Bahu is also watching the serial. And after watching the serial, both look at each other. So now I know. what's cooking up in your mind, and she, what's cooking. So earlier they were very harmoniously living. But then after watching that, then each and every act, usme bhi yehi dikhaya tha. Ye bhi yehi kar rahi. It has been seriously reported. These things are happening. Like, you know, one of my friends, he was a mimic, you know. He used to do mimicry, like these parties, and we used to have so many parties. So he would come up and do mimicry. So he was speaking about the effects of television, and he was mimicking something about that. That how, because of too much exposure to television and movies, specifically movies. So there is a man who is addicted, a TV addict or movie addict. So how he introduces his family, in-laws mostly. So he introduces, ye meri patni, phool bhare angare. Aur ye meri sali, khoon bhari maang. Ye meri saas, nagin. Ye mere sasur, do gaz zameen ke niche. ये मेरा साला कुंवारा बाप. और ये मेरी दूसरी साली जख्मी औरत. सो यू नो एंड इट्स समथिंग विच इज वेरी मच प्रेवलेंट. इट्स नॉट दैट यू नो इट्स वेरी इनोसेंटली इट जस्ट यू नो कम्स आउट ऑफ योर सिस्टम. As it goes in your system. No, it doesn't come out of the system. Because this last particular point, the ill effects of the media is, I know one teenager who has been suffering from sleeplessness. For the past 15 years, this person is suffering. Now, of course, he's 25 years old. But he has been suffering from sleeplessness for the past 15 years. He couldn't sleep, you know. Just middle of the night, he would get up afraid of something. So he visited many psychiatrists and doctors and like that. And finally, he was taking some homeopathic treatment. And the homeopath asked him. You know, homeopaths, they always go into dreams and so many things. So this homeopath asked that, what do you actually see when you close your eyes at night, when you try to sleep? So he said, I see some insects crawling on my body. Some deadly, horrific insects, you know, crawling on my body and trying to eat me up. So I just chimak ke ud jata main, just get up like that. So then this homeopath, tell me, do you remember you watching something like that, some movie, something? And then he went back. And when he, 15 years ago, he had watched one horror movie, which had something like that. Now, you know, these horror movies, the kind of horror movies are made. So, this is something, a real life example of a person who saw something 15 years ago and is getting affected. Still, he can't even sleep. So, you know what's being shown on the screen nowadays, the kind of horrific images. These images which they show, even if it is something, you know, they are singing. These MTV or, I don't know what's the other channel. These channels, music channels. Earlier, at least there was one person, you know, he would shout on the mic. That's what they do. They simply shout. But now, along with that, they show so many, you know, like horrific looking faces and some insects going here and there and, you know, snakes and cobras. It's It's like, you know, the deepest of mode of ignorance which has been portrayed and shown. So what's happening to the kids or anyone for that matter is these horrific impressions which affect them sometimes lifelong. Of course, we can go on and on and on, but just to make this point more effective, that how much it is killing the conscience of the child. Okay. How parents should behave in front of the children. Now, all these points which I am making, you have to understand what you have to do now. You know what to do. I don't want to, you know, just give you everything by, you know, a certain letter and everything. That you should know that after understanding the ill effects, what you have to do, the changes which you have to bring about when it comes to media. Oh, I forgot about internet. That's one of the nastiest things which is happening to the teenagers nowadays. Internet addiction. And you know what is that internet addiction. I know of so many examples of kids who have misused the internet. And, you know, teenagers nowadays, Indian teenagers are the most who misuse the internet all over the world. So Indian teenagers are famous for what? For misusing the internet the most of all the teenagers. And one teenager, this was a very sad story of a teenager who came up to me and he said that I want to confess something, that because of this internet addiction and misuse of this internet which I have done, I can't even live in my family anymore. I can't look square into the eyes of, you know, my family members and, you know, regard them as my family members anymore the way I used to. So is this what we want, that our children should come up with? Is this real progress of the child? So be very careful of whatever you are handing to your child. Sometimes you may not realize that you are handing a cobra. It's called laptop. So you are handing a cobra in his lap. Not just a laptop, but a cobra in his lap. So what a cobra will do, I don't have to mention then that. Now, coming to our next point, how parents should behave in front of their children. There was this point made that how parents have to be exemplary. Now over here, we are dealing with not just, you know, giving them, as it is said, you know, I am the breadwinner of the family. The husband says, I am the breadwinner of the family. And the wife says, I toast it. So that is not what is expected of both of them. That yes, he wins the bread and she toasts the bread. And yes, now we are ideal parents because we are mutually offering the toasted bread to our kid. No. As over here, every act, word and move has to be exemplary. Which means, as the points which were made that nowadays children are so observant. They observe how you act at home. And how you act outside of your home. How you act with your own family members and how you act with your distant family members, or how you act with your boss, or how you act with your subordinates on phone or wherever. These children are observing every single move. Don't think that they are innocently just playing with their toys. Huh? And you can do anything what you feel like in regards to your word, your language, your actions. Not like that. If in case you have some inputs, you can share with me over here, or any questions in regards. This is very interesting. There was a survey done recently. It was a survey all over the world, major cities of the world, in which the children were asked that whom do you want to make someone as your role model? you know, role model. And only 2%, you won't believe, only 2% of the kids all over the world, they said, my father or my mother. Which means 98% of the kids, they thought that these two people at home, they are simply there to feed me until I become eligible to feed myself. It's very pathetic. Because even according to our Shastras, the parents are supposed to be the first and, of course, the most demanded role models for the children. How will they become? When you talk about role models, you see, nowadays people just talk about models. Huh? That I want to become a model. I had taken one seminar on this particular topic. From model to becoming role model. What do you mean by role model? That he is not simply just standing as a model like a statue or a mannequin, but he is a person who is playing a role actively through the example, not just theoretically but practically, showing by example. So therefore, they should become the first role models for the children. Yes, a real successful parent is that parent when the child says that, Dad, I want to become like you. In the good sense, I'm saying. You know, like in Niti Shastra, there is the definition of who is a Mahatma and who is a Duratma. It is said, Manasyekam Vachasyekam Karmanyekam Mahatmana Manasnyata Vachasnyata Karmanyata Duratmana. A Mahatma is that person, he speaks what he thinks. And he does what he speaks. Which means his thoughts and his words and his actions are coherent. So I was once explaining about this point. So one person said, if I speak about smoking and I think about smoking and I smoke, am I a Mahatma? Now that's obviously to be understood that good things we are talking about. So when the kid says to the father that, Father, I want to become like you, a heavy drinker and smoker. That's not what we are addressing to the point over here. Making children or making ourselves into a role model for the kid. Parents should command respect and not demand. What does this mean? That parents should command respect and not demand. Yes, not that you take a stick in your hand or whatever, a gun in your hand nowadays, and hold the child, okay? Perchu. छूने लायक होने चाहिए पैर छूने लायक होने चाहिए पहले सो व्हेन वी आर टॉकिंग अबाउट रिस्पेक्ट विच हैज टू बी कमांडेड विच मीन्स वो बोलते हैं ना दैट हम ऐसी करनी करें दैट पीपल व्हेन दे सी अवर एक्शंस और द किड्स व्हेन दे सी देयर एक्शंस द एक्शंस ऑफ द पेरेंट्स बिकॉज आई विल शो यू अ स्मॉल वीडियो इन दिस रिगार्ड That how children, they imitate. And because, you know, they are like, again, the wet cement or a blank slate, you know, whatever you write. So there is a small little clip which I'm going to show you. The quality might not be so up to the mark as you are used to. But the message has to be understood. Do we have the connection? The audio connection. This is again the same point that how children imitate that particular point. So, some message was being transferred now from there, that how these children, not just these gross things, sometimes we may feel, I'm not like that, I'm not a parent like that, but even subtle things, children, the way you speak at home, the words which you use, the language, we'll come to all that. All of that they pick up. Like mother tongue. How mother tongue? Like once I asked my father, why it's called mother tongue? So my father said, hardly the father gets to speak. So... just like how they pick up a language. So it's not just a language. We are also offering a culture at home to the children. That the culture is what the culture which they learn at home is something which they actually see right every day, day in and day out, at every moment when they are dealing with their parents. Now, when it comes to how to deal at home, what are the common mistakes which parents they commit, if you agree with all this? Using abusive language, frivolous behavior, yelling and quarreling in front of the children, and also quarreling and yelling at them, unethical lifestyle. We'll go into the details of this, but you all agree? Some of the points are points which do the children encounter when it comes to the parents. Now, okay, now when we talk about the first one, let's take a given situation, a real life situation of abusive language. Now, when we talk about abusive language, it's not that those swear words. Sometimes, yes, of course, the swear words, which, you know the swear words. Like, what swear words? I don't want that you say that, but what do you mean by swear? Gali, you know, like Desi Bhasha. So, how they pick up, just like you saw in that clip, whatever the parents were doing, it was being imitated over there. So herein, the dad is telling to the son, go get my car keys. And the son, he brings something else. He messes up. So many keys, and he messes up. He brings something else other than the car keys. So the child, okay, the child is asking, which one is it? Because there are so many keys, so the child is asking, which one is it? You idiot. You can't even recognize my car key from other keys. Happens sometimes. It just comes out. The father is frustrated about something else. He's getting late to go to office. And, you know, he didn't get his favorite breakfast also. Couldn't clear his stomach in the morning. So much of acid, gas and all that. On top of that, his not so favorite breakfast, and it was just thrown by the wife. Eat. And then after all that, he's asking, get my car keys. And the kid is asking, which one is it? And, you idiot. Now, sometimes, you know, the child might not understand what the meaning of idiot, but starts imitating. So when something like this happens, or someone subordinate to the child will remember, my father, you know, in this situation, idiot bola tha. So he also then repeats it back. Like I had a friend of mine who was a victim of this abusive language. And he victimized his kid just, you know, to vent it out. So his father would always, you know, use that kind of abusive language. Are sade hue kele ke chhilke. Now, you know, this is like not just one word, it's like a sentence. Sade hue kele ke chhilke. सड़े हुए बैंगन के कीड़े. सो ही वॉज ऑल्सो ना वेन ही ग्रू अप ही वॉज फॉर्मिंग सम दीज काइंड ऑफ स्वेयर वर्ड्स. सो आई हर्ड हिम वंस ही वॉज टॉकिंग टू हिज किड एंड ही ऑल्सो यूज समथिंग लाइक दैट. ही वॉज वेरी फनी. आई वॉज लाफिंग एट दैट. हाउ कुड यू इमेजिन समथिंग लाइक दैट. ही सेड टू हिज चाइल्ड, बूढ़ी भैंस के फटे हुए दूध की लस्सी. दिस इज आई सेड वेदर इट इज इनोवेटिव और स्पेकुलेटिव और व्हाट इज इट. बूढ़ी भैंस के फटे दूध की लस्सी. वाह. So, the kids, this is an example of this person who was a victim of abusive language and who victimized his kid with that. And that's what, you know, handed down in parampara. Like, you know, they have their will, inheritance which they hand. So, this is the inheritance. What inheritance? This abusive language. There is a close colleague of mine. He is now a wonderful devotee. He said, he was from Kolhapur, he said that his father, he won a competition once. And what was the competition? Gali. There was a competition about Gali and he won. No. That's enough to say that he won, which means he kuch aisi ultimate Gali de di ki aage wala. Main isse ghatiya nahi gir sakta niche. So that's what he said, that, you know, sometimes, you know, it would surface up in his language. He's trying to come out of it. But he said, that is what I have inherited from my father. So how much careful the parents should be in usage of the language at home, how much it affects the kid. Then, Our next situation, frivolity. You understand this word? Frivolity or frivolous behavior? Okay, any examples before we get into this situation? Frivolous behavior. Frivolous behavior could also be between the parents in front of the child. Not just frivolous behavior with the child including, but it could be frivolous behavior. Like most of the time, this is a common mistake done, which is observed, that when parents or when mother and husband and wife, when they behave in an uncivilized way, which means, you know, in a so-called romantic way in front of the kid observes that. So when he observes that the parents are behaving, you know, just like any roadside couple, loses respect for the parents for that matter. So that's one kind of frivolity. And another kind of frivolity is like, you know, again it comes into the language also and also in the behavior. Like there was one father, he would often ask about the daughter and the son in a very frivolous manner to the wife. Pati patni ko apni ladki aur ladke ke bare mein puchta hai. Hasi mazak kahan hai? Matlab, he had named the daughter Hasi and the son Mazak. So he would ask regularly, kahan hai aaj Hasi mazak kidhar hai? And he thought it's funny. And yes, because the words he was using, Hasi mazak kidhar hai aaj. And because that's what the kids, they got into their system, that we are simply Hasi and mazak for them. Hasi mazak mein paida ho gaye, Hasi mazak naam kar diya, Hasi mazak mein jee rahe. So sometimes it's, you know, the consequences are so deep into the child's psyche. Like father pinching the kid just to irritate sometimes, you know. Father sometimes just to get some thing out of the kid, the father just for the heck of it. So what the child gets from this is that who is the kid now? Am I the kid or is he? So what happens is that forget about commanding respect. What is being commanded now? Disrespect. Disrespect is being commanded through those kind of frivolous things. Husband and wife behaving in an uncivilized manner in front of the kids. Like, you know, I remember this example. I was on my way to Burma. And on flight, they were showing, you know, on the screen, they were showing some TV series, the same thing, Sas Bahu kind of stuff. So what they were showing, that there was one family watching that Sas Bahu, which was being shown on the TV. So the wife is watching and she's crying. And she's saying, means on the what was going on in the serial was that the husband had left. So she was crying, Mihir chhodke chala gaya. Mihir chhodke chala gaya. And now this wife who is seeing that, she's also crying. And then she's saying, Mera to jata hi nahi. So in the meantime, the husband, the hubby comes. And then, honey, I'm back. So, roji aate ho. Now, this all is happening in front of the kid. Huh? The kid is there playing. So the kid immediately, he asks the mother, I want the remote, I want the remote. The mother says, why? I want to see my cartoon network. So the wife is telling to the kid, dekho na, ye hai na. And you know what the kid said? Yeah, roj roj isi ko dekh ke bore ho gaya. Now, can you imagine if such a kind of situation is going on in someone's house? What will be the respect the kid will have towards the mother or towards the father if the father and mother are dealing with each other like that? That one is a cartoon network and, you know, one is a pain in the neck or a headache for someone. So, how one has to be careful in regards to frivolous behavior. Then the next is yelling and also quarreling, means the husband and wife quarreling in front of the kid. So the son breaks his father's specs. Now obviously the son wouldn't do it on purpose. It's not that, unless, you know, he's like a wacko or a demonic kid, you know. But just happened. So the son breaks father's spec and the dad says, you ugly pig, why did I beget you at the first place, you stupid. Now these are the examples, I'm not exaggerating, I have personally seen these kind of examples happening. Now, what happens is when they yell like that or when they quarrel amongst each other. So again, the kid is getting the message that whatever mistake I commit, this is what I get. So anybody who commits any mistake, this is what that person should get. What? This language, yelling, the decibel level should increase, the tone and all of that. So sometimes we just sporadically do that, but you don't realize that, again, what are the repercussions and the consequences of that. Then our last given situation in the common mistakes, unethical approach. Okay, I want to know some examples from your side now. Sometimes how, you understand, unethical approach or immoral things going on sometimes in family when the kids are witness to that. Any examples? I have one particular situation over here. Yeah. Telling lie on phone. Beta, why na unko bolo ne papa ghar pe. Common joke and says papa bolle ghar pe nahi. Yeah, speaking lies. I have one example over here. Let's take this one. So they're going, the family is going for zoo, visit to zoo, and there's the fees is say 5 rupees, and you know, kya hota, half charge or no charge. So the rule was that if the kid is below 5 years, then there is no ticket. If the kid is below 5 years, no ticket. So dad says, if the ticket clerk asks you your age, just tell him that you are 4 years old. So obviously, the child, but dad, just this year we celebrated my birthday, I'm 5 years. Five candles, you only, you know. Now 5 candles and you blow them and cut the cake, happy birthday and all that stuff. I'm 5 years. So the dad says, just do as I say, it's just for now. We will save $5. Is it something common? So yes, the dad saved $5, but lost the real value which the kid was to get. The real value of being honest, the real value of being moral, the real value of being truthful, how much more valuable it is. So what is the use of saving $5? What do they say? penny wise, pounds foolish. Something like that. So, herein, it's very important, because this is what, you know, the take home message also will be based on. The unethical approach. This is not just in regards to just speaking truth, but this is regards to even dealing with so many factors of the family, within the family members, outside of the family, dealing with the society, dealing with the officials of wherever your workplace and all that stuff. Do you have any other examples in connection with this? Any real life situations wherein unethical approach? Can you speak on the microphone if it works?
So, of late, we had been to a get-together in a restaurant. My son is little, you know, taller when compared to the
others.
Not compared to others. Maybe for his age, he is taller. Okay. Let's put it that way. So, he was 8 years. The board displays above 8 years or above 10 years. It will be, the rate will be double, you know. Hmm. Otherwise, it's 50% of the what price is. He is not at all was ready to accept the truth that my son was 8 and not 10. He says, no, toto das daha varsha ta disto hai. Okay, forget about it. I'm not arguing it for the money. I'm speaking for the truth. You should accept it.
Okay.
So it was not even on me that I was not going to save any buck out of it. But it was not on me. It was on someone else. Someone else was paying for that. I have tried to put the truth to him.
Yeah, so over here, this situation, it's a very interesting situation which this gentleman is putting up. That he was speaking the truth. But the person at the counter was not able to understand why. Because someone previously in the past had done something like that. Had screwed up, and because of that, you are facing the consequence. It's not that you are always going to go with this birth certificate. They go, birth certificate. You know, to a restaurant or wherever, you're not going to carry the birth certificate. So, you see, the consequences are not just on that kid, but over here you can see the consequences on so many other kids in the families who later on encounter something like that. It's a very, kind of a startling example, which you can see. Yeah, not just a local, but a global effect.
Generally it happens. Just my wife told me to bring something from the market. I go with a child and as usual forget about that. And told the child to tell her mother that are hum to gaye the yaar, lekin dukan band tha. It's normal happen.
Oh, okay. So the child
it's
wants
normal happen.
The child wants a lollipop and you know that's what? The child wants a lollipop and you don't buy it and you say that the shop was closed.
No. Her mother told me to bring something from market. As usual, I forget about that. Come to home.
Okay.
And just remind, arre yaar, wo to main bhul gaya. Then told the child, arre, mummy ko bol dena please. Hum gaye the, lekin wo dukan band tha.
Oh. Okay. Oh, so some flavors
actually,
in this.
Even this thing happens in the sports also.
In sports.
In the field of sports.
Okay.
There are the categories like matches under 11, under 13, under 15.
Oh, okay.
And the parents tell their child, yet you tell that you are, though you are 13, tell them you are under 11. So that you can win the prize. That also often happens. Even I know one of the parents, who has asked the child not to appear for the exam, that he will remain again in the 7th standard. And next year, he will be able to take the prize as a champion of that event.
Oh my God. That's too costly. Okay, so herein we are coming to the terms that how unethical approach. We may not at that particular time understand that how much it is affecting not just the kid locally, but as it was mentioned, even globally. So now, becoming this to your child. F stands for friend, G stands for guide, and P stands for being a philosopher. You see, over here, many times, as in our previous session also, we had mentioned that parents, they tend to become a monitor than just a coach. So over here, befriending the children is very healthy in many ways. Because, you see, there is a very thin line between befriending and frivolity. There is a very thin line. We can befriend the children and yet command the respect. Because when you talk about befriending the children, we are talking about how, what is the definition of a friend? What is that famous quote? A friend in need is a friend indeed. So which means that's what the child should feel free. There should not be like the parents are sitting on an island and I am somewhere far away and I can't, there is no bridge in between. So which means bridging the gap between the generations. That is what it's mentioned over here. Befriending, becoming, that F stands for befriending, a guide. You know, there is one example, like I was in this game of tennis. I don't know whether you have heard of this famous tennis player, Bjorn Borg. Have you heard of him? Now, Bjorn Borg, I always considered him as, you know, as me being a tennis player, I considered him as my role model. So I had read a lot about his life story. When he was a kid, his father was a table tennis player. And his father was a good table tennis player. And one time he won, you know, prize, a tennis racket. So he didn't know how to play tennis. The father didn't know. So he just gave it to his kid, this Bjorn. And he started to just play in his backyard with that. And his father saw that he's picking up nicely. So his father, he enrolled him into a formal club where Bjorn Borg could learn professional tennis. And this father, you know, just gave him the liberty to, you know more about that game and, you know, just go full on with that game. And there is mentioned that if you know about Bjorn Borg, he was very famous for his composure on court. He was very composed. He, unlike McEnroe, if you know about that guy, he was the exact opposite of Bjorn Borg. So, Bjorn Borg was very composed on the court. And when he was interviewed that how come, whether you are losing or winning, you are always so composed, the opponent was very fearful because they couldn't find out what emotion is going on within him. That would create a fear in the opponent. So, he said that when he was 15 years old, he reached finals of one tournament. And for the first time, his father came to see that particular final tournament. And, you know, he was losing. Borg was losing few sets. So he banged his racket on the net. When his father saw that, he came on the court and he told to the umpire, he's my kid, he's not playing this game. If this game is making him into this, an anger freak person. And he took him back home. He lost that tournament, all of that. And his father taught him that whatever it is, whether it's your talent or whether it's your competence, if this game is making you into an arrogant person like this, then there is no use of this game in your life. And that's when he decided, in fact his father taught him good lessons and comforted him, befriended him. Then he took this vow in his life that he will never ever show his anger on court. And that's, you know, he won Wimbledon 5 times consecutively. That was one of the things under what he had achieved. So, how parents have to be philosophers of the practical kind. Not simply philosophers philosophizing through lips, but through actions. Teaching them the philosophy of life through actions. Befriending them and being their guide. Which means whatever is their competence and talents, just guiding them in the proper direction. So this is what we'll come to at the end, which is the take-home message of how parents have to become a friend, guide and philosopher. So over here, we'll go through some quotes and some real deep points in regards to what should be that one take-home message or whatever, what we are supposed to do as we get out of this room and try to work upon with the case of the children. So firstly, children generally should obey their parents, but wherever parental values are weak, the parents obey their children. Do you get this? Generally, it is seen that they should obey the parents, but when the parents have no ethics and values and examples to set for the children, then it is for sure that the parents have to obey the children. If you cannot prepare the future of your child, at least prepare him for the future. Many times, we may see that the future of the child is very bleak. And we may not be able to, we may not be so competent, but at least we make the child, through our example, competent. Now, this is a very interesting term. Boundaries or bondage. What do you understand by this particular term? What is the difference between something which is bondage or something which is a boundary? Okay, bondage limits you and boundary protects. Am I right? So, you know, like you, the India has its boundaries. So you have a house, they have a boundary. Now, bondage is not a very appreciable term in one sense, but boundaries, it relates to protection and all that. You know, you have a fence over the garden or boundary over there. So herein we are talking about disciplining now. The discipline on a child. Indisciplined children when young may disturb your sleep, but when grown up can disturb your life. So, what do you want? Okay. No, we are not talking about that. See, over here, you know, there is this famous English saying, spare the rod, spoil the child. But you know, there is something more to that. Use the rod sparingly. You know, you understood this saying? Spare the rod, spoil the child. That always if the child is, whatever you do, you are the Raja Beta. Even if you sit on my head and piss on my head, still you are the Raja Beta. No. There has to be a certain amount of discipline, because that discipline also will command respect. That yes, these are the peoples I should not mess up with. Befriending doesn't mean that, you know, they can do anything and everything with the parents. So there's what, how discipline has to be used. Discipline shouldn't break the child's spirit, but lack of it should break the parent's heart. So that's how discipline has to be used. That the child should understand the benefits of that discipline. Should make the child realize the benefits of that. And therefore, this is very interesting, that rules shouldn't look like shackles to your child, but rather should look like an embrace. Now, what is the difference between shackles? You know shackles? Zanzire, hathkadi, or that stuff. And an embrace. Like, if the father is embracing the kid, that's also kind of binding, limiting the freedom of the kid. But you won't, the child wouldn't say that, come on, you know, these arms are like shackles. And a shackle also binds someone. But shackle is something which is imprisoning something. So therefore, this is the difference between boundaries or bondage. This is very important. take-home message also, that what are you trying to teach? Character or simply some good academics? Two kinds of education, one that helps make your child a living and one that makes his life. Many times, parents simply focus on what the child can get, that piece of paper, the degree, so that he can make a living. But what about life education? That the parent, the child will learn at home, mostly. To know how to read is not as important as to know what to read. Many times, the focus is on padha likha hona chahiye bachcha. But padha likha hoke kya padh raha hai, wo bhi dekho. That's in fact more important. Isse acha anpadh gawar acha hai. Like I was meeting a group of people and they were into educating tribal people. So they were asking me that, what are your views for this? I said, many times you are doing a disservice to them. Because these tribal people, they are good at their whatever village talents. And you know, half-heartedly teach them something and they land up some clerk in some office in some city like Bombay, stay in some chawl or, you know, just their whole life is just staggering like anything. Rather, if they would have stayed in the village and become talented in their, say, farming or whatever, they would have had a respectable life to live. So you have people in Bombay, city like Bombay, where people from tribal village come, work in those factories and companies like anything, because they couldn't excel in their academics also, and they lost the touch of their village competence. So they work over here for a few thousand rupees, and all the basic necessities come from their village only. Which means all the fruits, vegetables and grains, they come from their village, and they have some few thousand rupees buying the same thing which they would have, you know, actually grown from their own hands and had organic, something healthy life. So this is also very important in regards to education. The most valuable inheritance is not jayadad and property, what the parents should give, but the values and ethics. Coming back again to the same topic, teaching them how to choose between not right and wrong simply. It's very easy to choose between right and wrong, but teaching them how to choose between two right things, which is more difficult than choosing between right and wrong. Teaching them how to stand by commitments by being committed. Teaching them how honor is more important than honors. What is the difference between that? That how just simply getting a degree or honors degree or whatever is not enough, but the real success has to be understood now by the parents. How humanity, teaching them all these things now finally, how humanity is more important than success. Teaching them how integrity is more important than grades. Teaching them how character is more important than competence. Teaching how values are more important than fortune. And finally, teaching how acts of kindness are more important than victories. So these are the things which a parent should look into as the real success of parenting. The take-home message. The take-home message is those end slides which we all discussed. That we have to teach them a human being who is worthy to be called as a human being, not in regards to just the competence, but in regards to the character more. We have many, many competent people, but hardly we have people who are competent in their character. So we have to have a generation come up who will be competent in their character. And yes, of course, competence should be also there. And those people, those kids will later on become the leaders of the society when they are not even just competent, but also having a good character. And that's the sole responsibility of the parents who are living in and out with the kids all the time and teaching by their example. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. It's a little over time again, but we will be having now sessions If in case you want, we'll be having personal sessions of counseling in regards to parenting, and also we'll be having a seminar upcoming on husband and wife relations, and that is something which is coming soon. So you be in touch with this forum as it was announced, ISKCON Young Couples Forum. So for all of you who are in this category, young couples, so we'll be this festival, what you had attended now, Parivartan it's called. So we'll be having these kind of topics as this particular topic we had, Art of Parenting, and then how to conflict resolutions between husband and wife. So at this point of time, I guess you all have your feedback forms. So you kindly fill it up before you leave this room, and there will be volunteers who will collect it from you, so that we can get back to you for our future sessions on similar topics like this. And if in case anyone has any real pressing questions, I'll be available over here. You all, whoever has questions, can come up over here, and I can help you out. And of course, there is a dinner waiting outside for all of you. Are you all hungry? You are hungry? Okay. So there is sumptuous prasadam also available outside. And we would want to inform you that we have regular programs going on here, this particular temple hall, every Sunday. We have a Sunday program in the evening, same 7:30. And every Wednesday, we have seminars on Bhagavad Gita. We go verse by verse. We are on the second chapter now. We started off the first chapter. So that is also something which will be of good help. Don't think that parenting doesn't mean just attending a seminar on parenting, but the background of parenting, which means the spiritual culture, which has to be present or prevalent in the family life, which will make that parenting give a new face, a spiritual face. And that is something which you can take benefit of the programs which are going on out here. And as you will mention in your feedback form, we'll keep you posted about our weekly sessions which we are planning out for young couples in regards to these kind of topics and other topics related to young couples. Again, thank you all very much for your kind attention. I feel very honored and privileged to speak to you and share some thoughts. Again, if things which might not have been a very relevant, because it's not my field, first of all, but something which I researched and gathered from my own interactions with people who have realized experiences of that. So I guess it was of some help to all of you, and we hope to meet again. Hare Krishna.
Just give me 1 minute. I will not take more time. I know it's very late. Just 1 minute, please.